The Sultan of Sizzle. The Titan of Toastiness. The Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones. Those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard. They have the backyard. Because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. So we're going to Vegas on Sunday. We fly out. We'll be doing five kick-ass shows for you Monday through Friday next week on Radio Row. We have some big-time guests already booked, and I mean big-time guests. So a tip of a cap to one Michael Santer. Now we just got to make sure that they all show up, and we don't have anyone like run off set with us. You know, Shep may be sabotaging the show and already reaching out to all those guests to tell them to not come on the show. And maybe that's why the YouTube stream wasn't working earlier in the program. It could have been Shep just at the end of the show last night playing around with the wires behind here. But looking forward to going out to Vegas, having some fun, and delivering you what I think is the best coverage from Radio Row anywhere in the country. And I've been to now over 10 Radio Rows. I got to see how many I've actually been to. But I think we will do a phenomenal job next week and just sit back, relax, enjoy the show, and have some fun. I know it's a different show next week, and it is crazy going from guest to guest to guest, but I think we do bring out some of the best out of the guests that we do end up getting, and I always feel like our interviews are different than any other show with what we're able to do and also just be at the Super Bowl and, you know, the platform that we have here on CBS Sports Radio. So we appreciate you, first and foremost, the most. But all that nice stuff doesn't come without a complaint. Here's my complaint. And I don't know where Santer lies on this. I don't know where Stu lies on this. And Santer and Stu could give me their opinion coming up momentarily. I'm already sick and tired of the Brock Purdy coverage. I don't need to hear Cam Newton say that there are 10 players or Brock is the 10th best player on the San Francisco 49ers. I am already past this conversation of game manager and, you know, is he a good quarterback? And hey, full disclosure, I'm someone that in September said he's a game manager. But the conversation about it doesn't lead you anywhere. Because here's what happens next Sunday. Brock Purdy plays awesome, wins the Super Bowl, and people will praise him, or people will say he's a product of the system. That's what happens if they win. If they lose, everyone's going to say, see, this is why Brock Purdy isn't all that, and maybe that the 49ers should go explore a Kirk Cousins or maybe try to go for the second year in a row, hit back up Tom Brady. Or can they do better? Can they go get somebody else? And that conversation to me is just ludicrous because Brock Purdy in the playoffs has done enough to prove that he should be the starting quarterback for the 49ers next year. He has. But there's no winning this conversation because it's almost turned into, this is probably an extreme, but you'll hear my point when I explain it. It's almost turned into the LeBron-MJ conversation. And what I mean by that is, the LeBron-MJ conversation is one, when it's suggested for me to do it, I always object to it. And I absolutely detest that conversation, and most times I refuse to do it. Because what happens with the LeBron-MJ conversation is you have the LeBron fans trash, absolutely trash MJ, and they don't listen, to the other side where the MJ fans just absolutely trash LeBron James. There's no conversation. And don't get me wrong, I could be loud, I could be bombastic, I could hammer home my point on the radio, but I always listen to the other side. I will always encourage the other side of the conversation. Like, if you listen to me and you say, I disagree with what this guy Zach Gelb says, I always encourage you. Give me a call at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Now, we don't wait for you for 9 years to make that point. You got to be ready when we go to you to make the point. This is not a waiting room where we wait for you to make the point. When you call, we value our listeners' time. We expect you to be ready to go. And if you can't keep up, if you can't hang, if you can't make sense in trying to articulate your point, then I get rid of you. But I will always allow someone to make the point. But there's a lot of times, and I learned this early on with the MJ LeBron debate, I could do the best 15 minutes of radio ever. And the moment we open up the phones, it's just such a divisive topic and such a heated topic that it's just screaming, not listening to what was being said, and just saying what you want to say and not hearing the other side. And that's almost the point now where we're at with the Brock Purdy conversation, where you could think he's a game manager, you could think he's an elite quarterback, you could think he's a good but not great quarterback. There's no listening. There's no conversation. There's no back and forth, because in a weird way, Brock Purdy, to no fault of his own, has been polarizing. He is now a polarizing topic of conversation for a story that is fantastic. He was the last pick in the draft. The last 2 years, he's been to an NFC title game, and now he's been to a Super Bowl. He has had comebacks. There was no expectation when Brock Purdy got into the league. And maybe if he was a first-round pick, this conversation wouldn't be there. But because of where he was drafted, being Mr. Irrelevant, there's just a lot of people that don't like to say, hey, I may have got that one wrong. And you try to look for the other shoe to just drop and the real Brock Purdy to stand up. And I questioned going into this season what he would be. You know, it would be just dishonest if I didn't say that. I questioned what Brock Purdy was because I didn't know. I thought there were some encouraging signs last year, but I didn't think there was a big enough sample size for me to say he is definitely going to be a success. And no crap, you need great players to win in this league. If Brock Purdy is with the Patriots right now, is Brock Purdy playing this level of football? No. But that doesn't mean he can't go anywhere and not have success. Like I said yesterday, I'd rather have Brock Purdy over Tua Tagovailoa. I think if you put Brock Purdy on the Dolphins would have won a playoff game this year. I really do believe that. And you have a lot of talent in Miami. You got a lot of talent in San Francisco. Say what you want. You could only deal with what you're working with and what gets put on your plate in front of you. And for Brock Purdy, he has Debo. He has Brandon Ayuk. He has Kittle. He has Williams. He has Christian McCaffrey. He's got tremendous players around him. But ultimately, it all comes down to, can you deliver on what Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't? Can you deliver on what Trey Lance couldn't? And that's a Lombardi trophy. And that's a championship. And in the NFL, there were few teams entering this season that there was a legitimate feeling it's Super Bowl or bust. The Niners were one of them. And they hitched their wagon to Brock Purdy. And is Brock Purdy the reason why the 49ers are winning? I wouldn't say he is the reason, but he is a reason. And that's coming from someone that said he was a game manager before this year. Right now, I think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. I'm not ready to call him a top five quarterback. I'm not ready to say he's a great quarterback. I'm not ready to say he's elite, but he's good. He is extremely effective. And you've seen this team not get off to the best of starts in the playoffs. Part of it is his problem, part of it not. And against the Packers and against the Lions, when he needed to, he stepped up and he delivered. So I know as we get set to embark and go to Las Vegas, it's one of the biggest topic of conversations going into the Super Bowl. Obviously, the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing is enormous. But that's not an on-the-field story. That's an off-the-field story. And when you go into this game, the first two things I think about from a coverage standpoint is the historical significance of Mahomes winning this third Super Bowl, where you have some, and I think it's premature. He'd be a Hall of Famer if he retired tomorrow, but it's premature to say he's better than Brady. You've already had some say it. So he wins another Super Bowl. It just further enhanced that conversation of how many Super Bowls will Patrick Mahomes win. And the other is, can Brock Purdy do what the Niners have been close to accomplishing for the last few seasons? They have been in NFC title games. They have been in a Super Bowl. They've been in a Super Bowl up against Kansas City with a 10-point lead with 7.5 to play. And Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't get the job done. Jimmy Garoppolo got the ball batted down at the line of scrimmage by Chris Jones, and Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew Emmanuel Sanders. We knew Brock Purdy could get back to an NFC title game. I didn't know if Brock Purdy could win an NFC title game entering this season. He displayed he can this year. And now it's about finishing the job and winning the Lombardi Trophy. But this conversation from now until kickoff, it's just one that I've already had enough with. And it's one that drives me bonkers because if you're saying Brock Purdy is a game manager, which I have said before in the past, I feel like there is vitriol there now with a lot of people where they're using it as a backhanded kind of way to just further what they said. And in the other way, I don't think it's fair to say that he's the number one reason why they're winning as well. There's no like middle ground here, and it just turns into like a really ugly, nasty fight. And hey, if you listen to the last segment, there's a lot of fights that I'm willing to participate in. This one, I just don't have the energy to do it because I don't think anyone wins really in this conversation. It is a fun story. I like fun stories. I think Brock Purdy's a fun story. I hope Brock Purdy plays his tail off and wins Super Bowl MVP. I have no problem with that. But I know if he does not play a good game, oh, the people that are going to be playing the I told you so crowd are going to be insufferable. That's coming from someone who also said he was a game manager. I will not do the I told you so because he's already proven that he's belonging then. So.
Well, to be fair, you didn't call him a game manager. You called him a system quarterback.
Okay.
Similar, but different, right? System quarterback could still be elite, just mm-hmm. only elite because of that one system.
He's better than a game manager.
Right. I think a game manager kind of just says he doesn't make mistakes, yeah. but he doesn't do anything great. System quarterback means he might do great things, but he's only doing those great things because of the system he's in.
Yeah.
So I think it's nuanced.
Synonymous, yeah.
Synonymous to an extent, but also not exactly apples to apples. But with that being said, I think I don't think he's a game manager. You watch some of the plays and the throws he makes.
His legs, the athleticism.
Yeah, he does spectacular things. He's not a game manager. Is he a system quarterback is the better question. That's the question that you've raised. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to know that. You can't know if he's a system quarterback because unless he's not in this system or
with
these
players.
And you want
to know why this conversation's stupid? And maybe this is just personal for me. For 15 years, I heard people say, Tom Brady is a system quarterback. And Tom Brady is a product of Bill Belichick's system. Now everyone says, oh, it was more Brady than it was Belichick. Let me be clear with the Belichick part. Brady needed to go to Belichick and needed to be in that environment in the first part of the dynasty where they were constructed to show that he could belong and then some. But then eventually, Brady became so big, and there were so many changes just naturally when you're a part of that for 20 years, that it showed, oh, Brady is really the system. And Brady was not a great individual quarterback early on in his tenure. But as time got better, you saw him put up these prodigious stats. And I'm not saying this is necessarily what's going to happen with Brock Purdy, but with Brock Purdy, he is doing what is asked of him right now. And maybe one day when a Kittle retires or McCaffrey slows down or Debo slows down, then we'll get the true answer of how much it was Brock Purdy. And Brady showed you that it was like 60% him, 40% Belichick. But right now, Brock Purdy doesn't need to be the All-Pro. He doesn't need to be the MVP of the league because this roster is constructed to win, and eventually there will be adjustments, and you will adapt, and you'll see what life is like without some of these players. But right now, he's just doing what's asked of him, and he's doing it at a very skillful way and at a very high level, and he's having a really good season. So the system part, yeah, he needs Kyle Shanahan. He needs these players around him. Like, if he went to New England, I said this earlier, we're not talking about Brock Purdy right now. But you get an opportunity early, and then it's what you do with it and how you enhance that.
And I think the other part of it also, I mean, you bring up Tom Brady with the whole system quarterback thing. If you really want to make an apples-to-apples comparison, just stick with the 49ers. Joe Montana, Brock Purdy. Right now, Joe Montana might be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He won 4 Super Bowls. He had Roger Craig, Jerry Rice, John Taylor, Brent Jones. He had Ronnie Lott, Charles Haley, Deion Sanders was on some of those teams. I mean, you talk about elite of the elite, and Bill Walsh is the all-time greatest mastermind of offensive play calling maybe ever with that West Coast offense and his coaching tree, who clearly he had the greatest assistant coaches there with him too. So you want to say that like Brock Purdy is assistant quarterback because of the guys he plays with and his coach, then let's go back to Joe Montana and say the same damn thing. So at the end of the day, if you're a good quarterback with whatever system you're in, with whatever players are around you, if you're winning and you're doing great things, who cares what the system is or not? You're doing great things where you are and with who you have, and that's all that matters.
And name me a quarterback that has a moment without great talent around him.
And we talk about Brady. Even when he didn't have receivers, he had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. He had great defenses like Richard Seymour and Asante Samuel and all those other guys. Every player wins
Rodney
a championship.
Rodney Harris. I don't think we need to bring up Aaron Hernandez.
There's a million of these guys.
He never
guys.
Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We need to bring him up.
Well, and he also didn't knock that ball out of Tyree's hand, which is crazy.
Oh, are you talking about Rodney Harrison?
Yeah.
Well, Rodney Harrison won 2 Super Bowls.
Oh, I thought you were saying that Rodney Harrison
was... No, I was saying Rodney Harrison's one of the great postseason. That six-game run that he had in New England was unbelievable. In 2003, 2004, I was saying Aaron Hernandez did not win a Super Bowl.
No, but he was great.
Individually,
while he was playing before everything went down.
I still can't get over the whole Aaron Hernandez thing. I never went from liking a player more to then despising a player's guts more than Aaron Hernandez. I did not think we were talking about Aaron Hernandez today. Anyway, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll go to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama next with Tony Pauline, who will join us on the Zach Gelb Show in 5 minutes.
The Sultan of Sizzle, the Titan of Toastiness, the Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones, those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard, they have the backyard, because they know a Solo Stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ahead of postage rate increases this year with Stamps.com. It's like your own personal post office. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. The Senior Bowl is ongoing throughout the entire week in Mobile, Alabama. And now joining us is Tony Pauline, who is there. He's a consulting editor and NFL draft analyst for Sports Skeeda, and he joins us right now. Tony, I know it's been a while. Appreciate the time. How you been?
I'm tired at this point because it's been 3 days of Senior Bowl practice after 3 days of Shrine practice, and I'm in an airport waiting to get home after a week. So enjoyable time, but a lot of work.
So what was like the big story? When you look back, I know there's a lot of chatter that goes on at the Senior Bowl. For you, what were some of the takeaways being there?
Well, from a player perspective, so many of the offensive linemen did exceptionally well. And, you know, this is going to be a good offensive lineman class, especially at the offensive tackle position. Your interior guys, Jackson Powers Johnson of Oregon was phenomenal. Isaiah Adams of Illinois was terrific. Both of those guys helped themselves incredibly well. I think Powers Johnson solidified himself as a late first-round pick. I think many of the offensive tackles, Fanuegua of Oregon State was really, really good. He's going to go top 15. Tyler Guyton of Oklahoma was outstanding. He's going to go top 15. I think Roger Rosengarten of Washington had a terrific week. So I think overall, I mean, we're expecting it to be a real strong offensive line class, and those guys the past 3 days.
When you look at the receivers, and not necessarily everyone that was there at the Senior Bowl, but we know some of the big names at the top, how many receivers do you think could potentially go in the top 10 after our Marvin Harrison Jr. probably goes four to the Cardinals?
Two, maybe three. I do think Malik Nabers will be a top 10 pick. Rome Odunze could be a top 10 pick. We'll see what happens. I think a lot with the Odunze depends on his testing, his 40, the shuttles, and the three cone, because, you know, the receiver position at the NFL these days, as we saw Jordan Addison last year, especially in the draft, you don't have to be 6'2", 215 pounds. You don't have to run a 4.32. You have to be able to separate through your routes. And it's going to be that route running, which a lot of guys did well, you know, here at the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Bowl. Smaller guys that you wouldn't think would be early picks, but that's what the league wants. They want separation. So I think Odunze could be a top 10 pick if he tests well. I do think Malik Nabers is also a top 10 pick.
Tony Pauline here with us. How'd the week go for Michael Penix Jr. and then also Bo Nix?
Average at best. I mean, really the best quarterback of the week was Carter Bradley of South Alabama, ironically. He's practicing on his home field. I think with, you know, Bo Nix wanted to come and see him show the ability to drive deep passes and hit long throws, really didn't do that. Penix, he wanted to see some consistency, didn't really do that. I mean, his passes were all over the place. I think overall, you know, you wanted to see a lot from these quarterbacks, and we really did not get much.
I think it's clear, right? You have Williams, May, and Daniels. They're probably going to go 1, 2, and 3 in some order in the NFL draft. How many other quarterbacks do you then think will go in the first round?
I mean, if it was up to me, if I'm looking at it, I'm saying zero. But you never know what the quarterback position. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. J.J. McCarthy's probably going to go late, somewhere mid to late first round. And I think that should be it. But you never know what the quarterback position, because it's such a high need and they're always so overdrafted. I mean, you could have a fifth quarterback selected in the first round. I think after McCarthy, any other quarterback in the first round is a major reach. Maybe Bo Nix, definitely not Michael Penix, though.
How would you rate, by the way, Daniels, Williams, and May? How would you go 1, 2, 3? 1, the guy you want the most, 3, the guy that you want the least?
I mean, Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. They're different types of quarterbacks. I mean, Caleb Williams is a dynamic playmaker. He's a dynamic personality on and off the field. You're going to hear a lot of criticisms leading up to the draft about his mechanics. He's an arm thrower. He throws a lot of flat-footed passes. Some of those passes that he made on Saturday, he's not going to be able to make on Sunday. Drake May is more of your traditional pocket passer. He's a lot bigger, but he's also mobile. He's got some mobility, and he can make all the throws, and he can make them all with dead-on accuracy, and he's an outstanding passer. The problem is there were a lot of bumps in his game last year. And then there's Jaden Daniels, who really has been on the rise since the second half of the 2022 season. Heisman Trophy winner, but that really doesn't factor into the scouting grade. It's just that he has consistently gotten better and better and better. He gets it between the ears. I don't know that he's as physically talented as the other guys when you look at arm talents, but the guy's been a winner, and you always like to get those quarterbacks coming into the draft that are coming out of playing their best college football.
Wrap it up with Tony Pauline, who joins us right now. Just circling back to what you said about Michael Penix Jr., it felt like after the semifinal game against Texas, right, he could go as high as a top 15 pick, and then after the national championship game about going up against Michigan, it felt like he was a fringe first-round pick, maybe a second-round pick. Is it as just simple as the performance in the national championship game just started to ruin his stock a bit?
No, I don't think, you know, you don't scout a guy off of one game, and a guy doesn't move that much off of a game or two. You know, but you look at Penix, and I know people love him. He's got some great highlights. He's a great story. A lot of credit to him. but he's overaged. He's had a lot of injuries. And when you're overaged, it means that scouts look at it that you don't have a great amount of upside potential. You are basically tapped out. You know, he's not going to get that much better. You factor in the injuries, and you know, he's gotten a rap as a guy who's not a real hard worker, going back to his days in Indiana. Not a guy that's really willing to do the necessary things off the field to make him a better quarterback on the field. He deserves all the credit in the world for the way he rebounded at Washington. It was a great season. But again, you know, it's a projection to the next level, and especially the streakiness, because a lot of times you didn't know what you were getting from Michael Penix, you know, game to game, quarter to quarter. You know, as you saw in that national championship game, he wasn't a guy that consistently played at a high level a la Jaden Daniels.
There's a reputation about Penix that way, about the lack of hard work, because I feel like that's all I heard the last year was all the injuries overcome and all the work that he put into it to get what he did the last 2 years.
Well, I mean, yes, he had to rehab injuries to get back onto the field, but a lot of people said if he put the work in before, you wouldn't have seen a lot of those injuries.
Interesting. I wrap it up with Tony Pauline, who joins us right now. To you, is Marvin Harrison Jr. the best player in this draft?
Number one player on my board. It's not even a question. I got a good amount of space between he and the next highest rated player on my board, which is Caleb Williams.
So when you look at the first three picks, right, I think a lot of people just believe that, right, the Bears will take Williams one, then the Commanders will go May 2, and the Patriots will go Daniels 3. Is there any way you see one of those teams passing on a quarterback to take Marvin Harrison Jr. in the top three?
Passing, no. I mean, as I wrote earlier this week, there are teams like the Denver Broncos and Sean Payton who are desperate to move up to get a quarterback. The Giants would like to get up and move a quarterback. But unless you're going to put some sort of major blockbuster deal in front of one of those three teams, they're not going to move down. Could they trade down and not take one of the quarterbacks? I'd put that percentage under 5%. Could they shock us and take, you know, pass on a quarterback? I'd put that at less than 0.01%.
And then just the last thing that I'll ask you, you being there in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl, what was the reaction today when we all kind of found out that Dan Quinn's going to be the new coach of the Commanders?
You know, I had reported that earlier in the week that was the word out of Mobile, if you follow me. So
yeah.
I don't think it was a shock to anybody. I mean, it kind of, I think there was a shock in the whole coaching carousel, starting with Dallas deciding to keep McCarthy and then, you know, the way some of the things shook out. But I mean, Quinn was really the best prospect, the best coaching candidate left, except for Mike Vrabel. And as I said last night, it looked like all along that Vrabel's just going to take the year off.
Why didn't the Commanders further explore Belichick? Because some people ask that with him being available.
Well, I mean, because the Commanders want to do things the right way, and doing things the right way is getting Adam Peterson as general manager and building that sort of culture. If you bring in Bill Belichick, he wants to run the whole thing. He wants to, even though he's, as I said last night in the article, even though he's told teams that, you know, no, I don't want to do it, they're afraid that once he gets in, he's going to want to run every single detail of the organization as he did in New England for so long. And unless he has that great quarterback, that one right quarterback, like a Tom Brady, who's a perfectionist, it's not going to work. That's why he didn't get the job in Atlanta.
He is Tony Pauline, consulting editor and NFL draft analyst at SportsKita. Tony, appreciate the time. Safe travels.
Thanks for having me.
There you go. Tony Pauline joining us on CBS Sports Radio. The only thing I'll push back on, and Tony, right, he knows these prospects inside and out. I have not heard that Michael Penix Jr. has a poor work ethic. That was the only part that I didn't get of that conversation. And I do believe that's a big story going into the NFL draft. Where is he going to go? Because right now I think it's easy to just say that the first three picks in the draft, Williams, May, and Daniels. And then, let's be real, Marvin Harrison Jr. probably going to go 4 to the Arizona Cardinals. But then how many other quarterbacks are going to go in the first round? Like, Boyle, I know you watch a ton of college football. I think you would agree with everything I just said about 1 through 4 of the NFL draft. You're going to have the three quarterbacks go and then Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yes. Is that what I would do? No. But
yeah, different conversation.
In all likelihood of what will happen, yes, I agree.
So then after that, how many quarterbacks do you believe are going to go in the first round? Like the potential candidates I get are Penix Jr., Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy. Like, I'm a huge Michigan fan.
I know you are.
I don't think J.J. McCarthy's a first-round quarterback. I would not draft him in the first round.
I wouldn't
draft Bo Nix in the first round. Michael Penix Jr. overcame a lot of adversity and was a rock star the last 2 years, but I probably wouldn't draft him in the first round either. Like, I only think there's three first-round quarterbacks in this draft. Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and then also Drake May. And I think that's it.
Yeah, now somebody that when anytime I post a winning bet, you go, well, where are the losses? I don't think anybody was higher on Michael Penix
so
than me.
Sensitive here. First chef, now you. Yeah, what were the days at CBS Sports Radio where we could have a little fun and make some jokes here?
I'm just saying. You're always the fool. Where are the losses? Where are the losses? Nobody was higher on Penix than I was, and I legitimately thought he was going to have the game of his life.
I picked Washington in the Pac-12 before the season started.
Yeah, and I legitimately thought he was going to have the game of his life against Michigan, and that would have put him in the conversation for number one overall.
I don't think it would have ever went past Caleb Williams.
I think his arm is incredible. I think he immediately has a top 10 arm in the NFL. I love his pocket presence. Obviously, you worry about the reconstructed shoulder and the twice reconstructed knee. So, you know, I totally understand if he doesn't go in the first round solely because of that. But what he has done on the field, I think he is worth a first round pick.
So the part to me, I think, like when we get back to the Brock Purdy conversation, like could Brock Purdy go anywhere and have this success?
Yeah.
The fit does matter. Like, you want to tell me Atlanta is getting Michael Penix Jr.? I think there's enough around him. You want to tell me the Vikings draft Michael Penix Jr.? I think there's enough around there for him to go into a solid foundation. But if you put Michael Penix Jr., let's say, on the Patriots, who have nothing right now.
Wouldn't be good.
I don't think that would be good. And, like, as a Pats fan, I'm sitting there. I think the best player in the draft is Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's the best player in the draft. I'd be fine if the Pats at 3 took Marvin Harrison Jr. and punted a year to find the quarterback. But as the more and more of this goes on, I think they're taking Jaden Daniels. And I am intrigued by the upside of him with the mobility that he has, because the Patriots really for the last 20-25 years have quarterbacks that are not mobile.
Yeah. Now let me slap my play like a champion today sign and say that I think Joe Alt might be the best overall player in that draft.
I'm like, oh, here comes the Sam Hartman honk, Boyle.
No, not at all. But I mean, this is what happens every year, right? We're like, all right, maybe two quarterbacks in the top five, maybe four in the first round, and then, you know, we hit February, we hit March, and these general managers, every year they fall in love with the allure of a quarterback that could bring their team back to the playoffs. And desperation really is the reason why we end up seeing probably five quarterbacks get taken in the first round this year.
We know three will go right now, maybe at most four. But also, I do believe, like, there's been years, like you said, Malik Willis supposed to be a first-round pick. Didn't go to the third round. Only Kenny Pickett went. Obviously, last year, Will Levis falling out of the first round stunned anybody. We had three quarterbacks go in the top four or five picks, and then no one until the second round. And then there's been those other years, the Trevor Lawrence draft, five in the first round.
Yep.
The Baker Mayfield, well, I guess we could call the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson draft, five in the first round as well. So you truly don't know, but the conversation is always centered around the quarterback. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to a Zach Gelb Show PSA next. Update time first. Here is Pat Boyle.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Make this Valentine's Day one she'll remember forever with an engagement ring from JamesAllen.com. James Allen knows each love story is unique. That's why they make it easy to custom design engagement rings at up to half the price of a traditional jeweler. Choose from tons of conflict-free diamonds, both natural and lab-grown, then pick your ring setting and metal. Shop the James Allen Valentine's Day sale and get 25% off with promo code PODCAST. That's 25% off at jamesallen.com, promo code PODCAST.
Says here that Graybar is a distributor?
Yeah, we support electrical and datacom projects all over the country.
So you can get me the products I need, where and when I need them?
Yeah, thanks to our national logistics network.
Any industry?
Yeah. construction, industrial plants, schools, hospitals.
So you could say Graybar is much more than a distributor.
Yeah, you could say that. When you need a hand powering, connecting, or maintaining your operations, join the thousands of professionals who rely on Graybar to help keep them up and running. Yeah, Graybar does that.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It is a Thursday. That means it's time for a Zach Gelb Show PSA.
Warning. 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 Warning.
It's a Thursday. What do you have to say? It's the weekly Zach Gelb Show PSA.
Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
So before I start my PSA, I try to be a good human being, and I have not asked this question yet to Moist Mike, but now Moist Mike is back from his vacation in beautiful Florida, and he was traveling for the first time with his little one and also his dog, too, which I didn't know, and they were packed, like, between... I was going to call your wife Mrs. Moist, but that just doesn't sound right. Between Miss Samter, Mr. Samter, the baby, and your dog. You had, what, 12 bags for you people?
Don't even get me started, man. I wanted to murder everybody, and then by the end of the trip...
Calm down! Jeez, murder everybody! This is your family!
No, not just my family, just like the entire... Just everybody, the world, okay. Like the planet. I wanted to go scorched earth. I was going to throw bags into the Hudson. It got ugly.
Yeah. Did you have a good traveling experience then, though? Was the baby fine on the plane?
Once we got on the plane, getting those 12 bags on the plane was a nightmare. Once we were on the plane, our little Alex was an angel. Like,
nice.
There were other babies on the plane crying
and screaming. Uncle Zach is proud. There we go.
Other babies on the plane crying and screaming. Our little girl was giggling and laughing. She kept reaching to touch the lights up above. She was opening the window shades and giggling out the window. She had the best time ever. The stewardesses and flight attendants were all walking by, giving her special treatment because she was so wonderful. Mm-hmm. However, getting on and off was no fun.
So I actually went out last week with my sister, my mom, my dad, and my niece, and we went to an Italian restaurant. And it was kind of like a smaller Italian restaurant where you know everybody. The entire restaurant was lit up because of my niece. So that is pretty cool when the little one just overtakes like a restaurant or an airplane or something like that. But I'm glad you guys had a good experience. Something I don't get is, and this is not me being like a jerk, you guys aren't big people. How do you have 12 bags? Like, your shirts aren't that big.
No, so basically what we did, because we knew that traveling with the baby for the first time, we just didn't know how it was going to go. So we booked an extra seat.
Overpacked. Right?
Yeah. So tickets to Florida were not that expensive, so we booked an extra seat. We had the entire row, all the three of us.
Nice.
So we had three carry-ons, three personal items.
Okay.
The baby's bag doesn't count as an item. The dog doesn't count as an item, and the baby doesn't count as an item. So basically, we're carrying the dog, the baby's bag, plus three personal items, plus three carry-on bags, plus the stroller... Plus the baby's car seat, which comes out of the stroller, which goes onto the plane.
A lot of junk.
It was no fun.
Yeah. All right. Here's my PSA, by the way, with airplanes. So we're all getting ready to go to Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. We leave on Sunday. There's nothing that annoys me more when you get on an airplane, the flight happens, the flight ends, and the moment the flight lands, everyone stands up. I can't stand it. Where are you going? They didn't even open the door yet. And when you're sitting in the 33rd row, there are six people to the left, six people to your right, and then you times that by 32. So there's a lot of people that have to leave the plane. Plane lands, stay in your seat, and when it's your turn to get out, then you get out. But being a larger person who usually sits on the aisle that's tall, I can't stand when the 115-pound girl or the 8-year-old child has to get up the moment when the plane lands, and then I'm standing there ducking my head the entire time waiting for 30 other rows to deplane. So that's my PSA. When you travel on an airplane, don't leave the airplane until it's your turn to leave the airplane. The only way you leave the airplane when it's not your turn is if, like, part of the plane, like, falls off, like that video that I saw about a month ago. But that's my PSA.
All right, I guess I'll go next. I heard
our company booked us that airline. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I can't wait to travel with you to Vegas, man. That's going to be fun.
Santa and I are going to go out in a parachute.
I can promise you I'm going to be the first one standing up without. No, it's funny, actually. As we landed yesterday back from Florida, my wife said first thing, she's like, what's the first thing that's going to happen as soon as we touch down? He goes, I go, people are just going to stand up and stand there like idiots.
Yeah.
All right, so here's my PSA. I actually didn't have one, and Stu's like, do you have a PSA? I'm like, no, I don't. Actually, yes, I do. Something happened to me in Florida that drove me freaking crazy. And it drives me crazy everywhere I go and every single time this happens. All right, I have a dog. I have a small dog. He's a non-shedding, miniature little poodle that weighs 11 pounds. And
a mini poo?
He's a Shorkie poo. Shih Tzu Yorkie poodle. He's a whole kind of mix of stuff.
Gotcha.
All right? Tiny, doesn't make a sound, doesn't shed, hypoallergenic, doesn't cause any problems, all right? Now I know that people kind of take advantage of this emotional support animal thing, but for the most part, like, people don't complain when you bring your small little dog into a place, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you bring a big giant, like Doberman or whatever, then maybe people might get uncomfortable, maybe they're shedding or the dog shakes and there's hair everywhere, I get that. But when you have a tiny little dog that you're either holding or is not minding, you know, not causing any problems, you're minding its own business, who cares? We're at Trader Joe's in Florida, just walking around. All the people at Trader Joe's, the entire staff, how cute is your dog? Oh, my gosh, your dog is so cute.
Were you in Boca?
Oh, can I pet your dog? Right in Boca.
Well, can I just tell you how this goes?
Yes.
Sir, you're not supposed to bring that dog in this establishment.
It was probably my grandmother who said it to you.
And it wasn't anybody who worked at Trader Joe's. It was just some lady. Hey, guys, you know that Florida law says you can't bring a dog in here. Three people at Trader Joe's just standing there laughing, looking at me, rolling their eyes.
You're an animal, they're like, Michael.
They're like, we don't care. Let your dog walk around. It doesn't matter. And this lady's screaming and yelling at my wife. We're, you know, pushing the baby in a stroller. We got food in our arms. The dog's just hanging out. Who cares? You guys can't bring a dog in here. What does it matter to you? Is a dog bothering you? Is a dog causing you a problem? Shut up, lady. Mind your own business. Get the hell out of the store and let us enjoy our food.
I thought Samter was going to say, just croak, old lady.
Oh, we lost our mind on her. We're like, lady, mind your own business. You don't know what our situation is. Who do you think you are telling us what to do with our dog? Shut up and go away.
My mother just texted me, 12 bags, that's a bit much. And then she goes, it was definitely your grandmother who ripped into my What do you got, Stu?
All right, mine is fast food drive-thrus. Now, there's a couple issues here, but let's just go.
Have you ever walked through the drive-thru?
I have not, but I've seen people walk through
and
stand
in
there.
I did that in college.
So, last night was a fast food night for my girlfriend, myself, her sister, and her boyfriend.
Mm. Where'd you go?
We went to Wendy's.
Okay.
Can fast food drive-thrus get the order right? Now, I understand. Look. I understand. We had a big order. It was like, yeah, it's like $40-something. It wasn't cheap. But
you have some substances that Brian does in the YouTube chat? Is that why you're getting some fast food?
No, well, no. But it's just like, can we just get the order right? We're spending all this money, and can we not get back and have the wrong sandwich, the wrong order? It just drives me nuts.
So it messed up your order entirely?
No, I mean, not entirely. There's only like one or two things wrong, but when one or two things are wrong, it kind of ruins the party, if you will.
There was no body parts, though,
Thank
in the
God,
fast
no.
food order.
Yes,
you didn't
no.
get like a finger or something.
And that would be a disaster.
That
would be bad.
Or like a little piece of a rat's ear.
Ugh.
I've read stuff like that.
Same.
There's been fingers, and not chicken fingers, like actual human fingers in fast food, and then like a little sliver of a rat's ear. But that is annoying. And I do Uber Eats a lot. And when they mess up
that
an
too.
Uber Eats,
yeah.
and you've been waiting an hour for the Uber Eats to come.
Ruins it.
It's so obnoxious because they'll refund you, but I want the food that I ordered. So did you not check in the bag? Because the bag's all greasy and everything.
We checked, and it has four sandwiches and all this other stuff. It's hard to actually go through the actual sandwiches. You have to unwrap it, and that's just a pain in the you-know-what.
Yeah, all righty. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. That is a Thursday Zach Gelb Show PSA. Wow, my mother is just torching you guys. There's nothing in the world that my mom hates more than fast food. She goes, Stu's eating habits are disgusting. What a thing for Mama Gelb to
fast
text.
Food like once a month.
She went from just eviscerating Hickey. Maybe this is where I get it. Like she used to, she went after Hickey the day he did the push-ups in the studio and we did some cookie challenge. I forget what it was. Oh no, it was a Pat Riley challenge when Pat Riley went after the media and said that they couldn't do push-ups and Hickey like banged out 40 push-ups. And my mom goes, yeah, Hickey's got to work a little bit on his form. Now in the last segment, my mother attacked Samter for bringing 12 bags to the airport and then also attacked Stu for, to quote, his disgusting eating habits.
I will say this. Your
Tread
mom
lightly.
Is,
it's my mother.
Your mom is not wrong for going after us. My wife and I thoroughly admit that we way overpacked. We were just trying to be overly cautious.
Your new parents.
Also, and we also weren't staying at a hotel. We were staying at a family member's house, so we had to bring stuff to there. But yeah, we learn for next time what we can and cannot avoid packing next time.
Now, I'm not a father that I know of, but I will just say, like, if I was a new parent, I would be paranoid. I would be paranoid, and I would overpack. I overpack now. I would overpack if I had a little one and
not
I was responsible
you know
for
of,
something.
I love it.
That killed them.
A Peanut Butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Says here that Graybar is a distributor?
Yeah, we support electrical and datacom projects all over the country.
So you can get me the products I need, where and when I need them?
Yeah, thanks to our national logistics network.
Any industry?
Yeah, construction, industrial plants, schools, hospitals.
So you could say Graybar is much more than a distributor.
Yeah, you could say that. When you need a hand powering, connecting, or maintaining your operations, join the thousands of professionals who rely on Graybar to help keep them up and running. Yeah, Graybar does that.